Chat is not fun. You're from the box and the CEO and everybody. In 10 minutes, you're all welcome. I must apologize for being a little bit late. Had to attend to something very urgent this morning. We've got apologies here from the minister who's attending cabinet committees, two cabinet committees, and the deputy minister who's attending urban, integrated urban development framework. Political steering committee in Umhlatuzi in KZN. Okay. And then on Khabele, I saw him outside. He's around. Yeah, Kekana and Steam Cup. Okay, so. So the week, one of them was just apologized. He had to attend to an emergency at home, so the only flight available, the earliest one out of Cape Town, is 11. So he has to take that flight. So those are the apologies. We are getting thinner and thinner as we are approaching the time when we are supposed to be rising. You can see even outside there's some maintenance work that is taking place. So they are not expecting us to be around. They're expecting that we should have risen by now. So yeah, this is our it was supposed to be our last meeting today, but we're that great we are supposed to meet next week, Tuesday, because there are some outstanding issues. We have to deal with the three items that we packed yesterday. And there's also an outstanding engagement with the Board of South African Weather Service. So next week, just for a day, we come here on Tuesday, we should be done by the afternoon. I know all of the Italian has to take a flight, international flight on Wednesday. So I asked him if he can be here in the morning, we finish, and then leave in the afternoon. And other members, if they can be here next Tuesday. It's the last day of the committee before constituency period. Okay, so where were we yesterday? We're expecting a feedback from Mongameli, from Isha, in respect of the issues that we referred to yourself. So I'm ready to report back, Isha.
Chair, as per your instruction, yes, we are. We have proposed some amendments in terms of the National Treasury Amendments and also a particular clause in relation to Section 57A. Mogadez is also proposing a clause in terms of Section 48J. But I have instructions, Chair, from the Minister to put on record that any additional new clauses would have to go through the cabinet process again that were not part of the original bill. And those are my instructions here. So we are ready to present the clauses to you.
Okay. So all the additional clauses must go back to cabinet.
Those were my instructions from the minister.
So all of the clauses that we dealt with, even those that were proposed by the cabinet.
I would assume so, Chair.
Okay. When do we start?
Chair, whichever one you want us to start with, National Treasury, Well-being, or Section 48.
Okay, let's start with National Treasury.
Sure, the amendment that Treasury requested was just more clarity on the various vehicles. And we did this in the section on the vehicles in 24P. And what we've added there is where the bank account or where cash can be used. It should be the account of the nimble and of the DMR account.
Where are you at? First page.
It's not the first page, Chair. It's page.
Close to page, Chair.
New clause. Look into it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So Chair, it's 24P 6, the financial provision vehicle, which must be used in providing the financial provision is used to just be cash.
It's 24P what?
It's 24P 6.
Okay.
A. We used to just have cash there. But now we have cash deposited into an account administered by the Minister responsible for mineral resources.
Okay.
For insurance, we just had insurance before. Now we're saying insurance from an institution that is registered in terms of the applicable insurance sector legislation. For C, it used to be financial guarantee. We've now added from an insurer, from an institution that is registered in terms of the applicable financial sector legislation. And D, a trust fund. We just had trust fund before. We've now added a trust fund established for the sole purpose of Section 4. And Section 4 is financial provision for the progressive rehabilitation, decommissioning, closure, and post-closure activities, including the pumping and treatment of extraneous and polluted water, where relevant, to ensure the mitigation, remediation, and rehabilitation of adverse impacts, including latent environmental impacts and environmental residual impacts. So, Chairperson, that was just really to clarify that it wasn't open to international companies, etc. It was, and those will be identified in the regulations, and they are actually identified in the regulations. But just more detail in the regulations that are referring to the Financial Act and the Insurance Act, which we didn't want to bring into this act here because it could change over time and then we would be incorrect. So that those were the amendments that were made in that section.
Okay. So you are here with the amendments that it covers what Treasury raised.
We do feel that it covers what Treasury raised, although we haven't removed the reference to the Minister of Finance. It must be in concurrence with the Minister of Finance. And that is really because when it comes to financial issues, the Minister of Finance is normally involved in those decisions.
So is it in concurrence or in consultation?
At the moment, Chairperson, it's in concurrence, so it must be in agreement with.
In agreement. Okay, where is the letter? Did you get the letter?
Chair, remember I made reference to an email from DMR. We can give you hand up a copy now if you'd like, Chair.
You read the letter from Finance?
Yes, it was actually an email, Chair. Hand it up.
We ask that this correspondence be distributed to members yesterday.
Apologies, Chair, that's an oversight on our part. We'll make a copy and then distribute it, Chair.
Okay. All right. Looks like it's a straightforward issue. So you're threatening the definitions then. Okay, can you move to...
Chair, the next issue was either Section 48 or the well-being issue. I think, Chair, we'll deal with the well-being issue and then just indicate the proposed rewording that you requested, Chair.
So who's going to take us through the
Chair? Will be myself. That's the topic now.
Okay. Maybe we should. I see you have been joined here by school children. They are welcome to Parliament. Please welcome the kids. Okay. So we welcome. We're dealing with the. We're discussing amendments to the National Environmental Management Laws. So we're dealing with the bill now. For your interest. So we've got officials here from the department who are taking us through the amendments that we've asked for. So this gentleman here is Isham, who's the DDG in the department. Welcome. Okay, Isham.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Chair, honourable members, visitors to the House this morning. We proposed a new provision, like you requested yesterday, a standalone provision for the minister, similar to something that's in the Animal Protection Act, and where we included it in the, or where we're proposing it to be included in them, but upfront in the beginning of the Act, so that this provision could apply to all the chapters in the Act and not only to the chapter that deals with listed threatened or protected species. It follows the section that makes provision for the minister to make norms and standards, so in the context of the space where it is, it sits there. And the text that
why are we
So it's a standalone clause, and the text is the minister may by notice in the Gazette and subject to the same conditions as the minister may specify in the notice, prohibit any activity that may negatively impact on the well-being of a faunal biological resource. I just want to explain here that we didn't use the exact wording of the provision in the Animals Protection Act that the minister may prohibit the killing of an animal for the skin or the product or a product for commercial purposes, and the reason for that is that provision would be limiting in the bigger context of the activities that are carried out in facilities. So if we would have included killing, it would relate only to killing and not to all the other activities like keeping or transporting where the same concerns may arise. So we made it broad that the minister may prohibit an activity that could be killing, it could be transporting, it could be keeping, and also not only for commercial purposes, because there may be activities that you would want to prohibit in other circumstances that do not relate to commercial purposes, where that's a concern for well-being. So we made the clause broad to cover any situation that may arise where the minister would want to prohibit an activity, but we made it a standalone, so it's not disappearing in the regulations, that the minister may make regulations relating to the circumstances in which an activity may not be carried out. So it's now a standalone enabling provision for the minister to prohibit.
Okay. Ik vil også tage døren, hvad det så tager. Hvor er det? The last one.
Thank you, Chair. It is the proposed Section 48 under the National Environmental Management Protected Areas Act, Chair. So it's on page 19. It is the new clause on page 19.
It's 19.
1919, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, according to the committee yesterday, the committee was thinking along the line of either having a blanket ban on mining in a protected environment. Alternatively, to allow the mining, Chair, but under very stringent conditions. And I believe the committee yesterday was of the view that we should consider having stringent conditions, Chair, under which mining can occur. Chair, the proposed Section 48, Chair, is partly based on the suggestions, Chair, that were distributed to the committee by the Department, I think the Department of Mineral Resources. Chair, on page 20, Chair, that is the relevant part, Chair, under which the minister and the minister responsible for mineral and petroleum resources can give permission for mining, Chair. The provision stating that, Chair, the permission can only be given, Chair, subject to the following conditions, meaning, Chair, that when they consider an application for permission to mine, the ministers must consider the following aspects. They have to consider them, Chair. An insufficient amount of mineral and petroleum resources sought to be prospected or explored for or mined or produced outside of the relevant protected environment so that the Republic meets its strategic national goals. It also considers that the activity will not result in permanent landscape or hydrological change. It also considers the outcome of the public participation process, Chair, outlined in Subsection 6 and 7, including the interests of the local communities. Now, Chair, these are areas that the aspects that the minister will have to apply when considering an application for permission to mine in this area, Chair. Subscribe, Chair, below outlines the process, Chair, of public participation. But the person requesting the permission from the minister, Chair, must ensure that all interested parties and affected parties are notified by fixing a notice board on a conspicuous place, Chair, and also giving written notice share, Standard 1347 of the NEMA, and also notice to all landowners contributing to the relevant protected environment and all occupiers, yeah, and also the management authorities, the MDCs, the relevant provincial authorities responsible for conservation, the municipal council of the ward, the municipality which is jurisdiction in the area, and any organ or state that has jurisdiction share. And this other share may be placed in local newspapers, also in the Gazette. And also place the advertisement share in provincial newspapers or national newspapers with the environment status provincial boundaries. And furthermore, share if there are problems with people affected by illiteracy, share, disability, or any other disadvantage, the person must use any reasonable alternative method as agreed by the minister to ensure that all these affected persons are also privately and aware and are involved in the decision-making process of whether to mine or not to mine in that particular area. The subsection C share provides that that notice board or notice or advertisement must give details of the proposed prospecting, mining, exploration, or production activity, which is subjected to public participation, including a summary of the proposed prospecting, mining, or exploration, or production, and a copy of the environmental management program of the accessible to the public, and also a copy of the environmental management program for the proposed mining, exploration, and production must be accessible. These are the conditions under which permission for prospecting for mining in a particular area must be considered by the ministers. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. All right, thanks, Ramil. Comment? Okay, the first thing, details on public participation, is it not too elaborate in here? Can they find expression somewhere in the regulations? I'm not sure if there is no regulation that deals with public participation.
Chair, those are part of the Chapter 5 regulations that deal with public participation in relation to, for example, the environmental authorization.
Okay, so I think that let's take out the details of how public participation should happen. Because it should be captured somewhere. There should be a provision for public participation. We don't have to make it this elaborate. We can refer it to the requirement to consult as prescribed in the relevant regulations. Okay?
No question.
Yeah, so let's take that one out. So 4A is fine. problem figure two. Doc was just showing me the issue about the fact that the activity should not affect water quality. Not sure whether I should be saying water quality or in an area where, for instance, it's a catchment. Maybe we should make reference to that. I don't know what would be the appropriate word. Okay, maybe let's limit it to 4A, Roman figure 1, Roman figure 2. I think that should be fine. And then B then should talk about the public participation. Only after public participation has happened, in terms of whatever provisions that are necessary. So, is that fine? Okay, so it looks like we're done. So, C. And everything that follows there are details which must be somewhere else in the regulations. We don't have to be this specific here. But I'm happy with the fact that at least there must be an endeavor to find out if there is minerals outside of the protected environment first, before even going on that one. Okay, I think we're done. Any other thing?
No, Chair, I think we've dealt with the issues then.
Okay.
So for next week, Chair, the team will not need to be here. It's basically the committee process. Would you require that?
I don't think it's necessary. Next week, the committee will then be looking at the bill, version of the bill, and voting on it, making sure that everything else is fine. And then after voting on it, it's fine. Yes. So you don't need to be here to engage on anything. So I guess for now, all the contentious issues have been dealt with, including this section 48. I take it that you have not given input on the section 48. Okay. No, it's fine. Still have time between now and then to do that, but we'll then have to proceed next week and finalize the bill. If there is a request for the bill to be withdrawn, I think you will do that. Withdraw the bill if you want to take it back. Because the submission that everything else new must then be processed in cabinet, then it means that everything else that you've requested, because there are a lot of new clauses there that were suggested by the department, that were suggested at our request after having dealt with the public participation process. So if that will be the case, then it means that everything else has to go back. And I'm not sure that's how lawmaking process is supposed to be undertaken. Because you introduce a bill in Parliament, people comment, people make public submissions, we discuss it, we add, we change, we vary, and then it becomes the final bill. So if it does not seek to do what you intended to do, I think the executive can always at any time withdraw. I'm not sure what the rules of Parliament say where we are now, whether you can withdraw. But that would be very unfortunate, because it would have meant that all the time that we have spent dealing with this thing was just an exercise in futility. So it means that we will not be able to trust whether the next proposed legislation that comes, whether we must get assurance first before we start engaging, that we are not going to waste our time. Because that will be tantamount to wasting everybody else's time. Okay, those are my comments. Honourable Pedder?
Yes, Chair, you've summed it up very well there. I just, I suppose we don't have any idea of timing on this, do we? Time frames.
Time frames for?
Well, after next week, and then whether it's got to go back, whether it's withdrawn, whether it goes to cabinet. I mean, the time frames on these things. As a committee, do we have any idea of what we can expect?
Well, when we do our work, we process the legislation like we started to do, we're almost back now. And if there is any intention of taking it back, of course it's up to the executive to decide. But subject to the rules of Parliament, because now it's a parliamentary process, this one. And it's processed by us, together with the department, and if there's anything else, I think we'll receive communication together with everything. Because for instance, where I'm sitting, it doesn't make sense. I mean, there are a lot of new things that have come in here into the legislation, proposed by various other stakeholders, including the department. So why wouldn't we touch any other issue which has been commented on by the public? Because this section 48 here is arising from the comments submitted by the Center for Environmental Rights. Okay, so we are done. Thank you very much. Next week, the team doesn't have to come here. You can just send one or two. To come here. We must just make sure that there is sufficient quorum. So the meeting of next week is subject to members attending. If members don't attend, there is no quorum, there will be no point in us coming here, because this is going to have to be voted for. Not really voted for, but at the time when the committee adopts, we must be having a quorum. So we will make sure that we do the roundup, check all the members whether they will be able to come, and then confirm next week. But otherwise, I must thank you very much for coming, the team. I see some sad faces this morning. I don't know why. Is it because it's the last day? You don't want to. You don't want to part ways with the committee. You're enjoying attending here almost every day. thank you very much. We had a very good interaction. I think, you know, processes like this, members also get to appreciate the issues that have been dealt with in the department. So I think everybody else has learned. I'm sure you have learned something from the engagements with us as members of Parliament in this committee. I'm quite satisfied with how we've processed this bill. It's a pity that it's just something that looks like a little bit of a bitter ending on Section 48, which should not cloud the good work that I think the officials in the department have been doing. Together with the committee, I think we've done well. Since when we started with the workshop, with a 2-day workshop, we dealt with all the issues. And yeah, it has been a long journey, so this is the end almost. Not the final end. The final end will be when the House looks at the bill and approves the bill. It's a Section 76 bill, so it will have to go to the NCOP. Yeah, so it will go to this NCOP. The NCOP might also decide on its own process, public participation or whatever. If there are changes which have been made in the NCOP, the rules are such that it has to come back to the MA and look at it whether we agree or we don't agree. If we don't agree, then there has to be a process that we have to follow. Yeah, mediation, if we don't agree. But we've never really been find ourselves at that situation. Normally, what gets processed there when it comes back, just agree with it in loss and it goes. But yeah, thank you very much. Now we are done with the NEMLA bill. Let's get to Sandy. Thank you very much, Mungamel, for all your efforts. Now the process will now be left to you to look at it, to proofread, to finalize the bill, version of the bill, and then next week we'll be here then to adopt. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, we can now have Sandy. Are you ready?
Morning, Chair.
We are ready.
Okay. All right, let's say adjourn for 2 minutes to allow you to set up and then to take us through your report.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Are you ready now?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
We are ready. Good morning.
Morning, Chairperson. So you are appointed with effect from when?
From the 1st of July, but I've known about for a while, Chair. So it's just the continuation of my SAMBJ.
Yeah, no, we've met before.
Of course.
Yeah, no, you've been in the board. So you started officially as the chair on the 1st of June?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Congratulations on your appointment. It's for 3 years,
huh?
Or 5 years?
It's my second term on the board.
Your appointment as the chair?
My appointment as the chair would be in terms of my appointment as a board member. And my appointment would be, I'm on my second term appointment. I think it's 3 years. So I've been appointed for the second time. So I'll probably see through till the end of my appointment or the replacement,
so
yeah.
Your board membership is for 3 years.
It is for 3 years.
So meaning you will be the chair for the next 3 years. Yeah, how does it work?
We'll leave it to the department chair.
Okay. All right.
They will use us to find a suitable replacement there.
Okay. Want to clarify?
Thank you, Chair. The term of the current board is until March 2019.
So until March 2019. Next year. Okay.
Or until a new board is appointed.
That's the wording on the letter. So, I mean, in terms of the act, it's still next year, March, but I assume the department wanted to make sure that there is a vacuum.
Okay.
And the letter says until there's an appointment in place.
Okay. No, ordinarily, I think when there's some changes, we get informed, you know. New appointments, and so forth, so that I don't have to ask you, see, we're coming here, and we get introduced by the CEO, you know, it's dictated that when there's some changes and some new appointments, as a portfolio committee, because we work with the board, we should then be informed. But I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it's not nice putting you on the spot so that you don't have to explain for yourself for how long have you been appointed. Is it just going to be for until March next year or whatever the situation? But it's fine. We've got you now as the chair of the board. Until further notice, we will work with you and would like to congratulate. You have been in the space, so you know what's happening. You are not a new person to the environment. You have been there for some time. You have interacted with the community, so you know us. There was an issue last time, however, when we asked that Sandy must come. I got a letter from the former chair of the board to say that the board will not be able to come, including the executive, because there were some series of meetings. I think there was a meeting to deal with.
It was the audit meeting, I believe.
There was to finalize the annual financial statement and to get it approved by the board and to get it submitted. Now, unfortunately, the meeting was not postponed by yourself, but the previous chairperson. I must say that we didn't really take that kindly. that to get a notice, it was even a late notice that you are no longer coming, and that we had to make arrangements that Sunday must come again. Because you see how it works here is that we develop a program. We determine the day at which you are supposed to come here, an account. And so you don't choose for yourself which days are suitable for you, which ones are not suitable. If there's anything, you make a request when we look at it. We don't just get a letter saying we're not going to come. Because that's not how things work. We are the ones who choose the date to say, this is the date that you are coming. And then you cancel whatever that you have, you come here. Or you see how you rearrange your time. So I hope that it's going to be the last time. I thought that I would be saying it to the former chair, to say, Chairperson, you don't dictate to the committee how we must do our things. You don't cancel our meeting. When you are requested, you come to the meeting, you come in Parliament, to come in account. That's the expectation that we have of the public officials, of the board, of everybody. So I hope CEO is not gonna, you'll advise that not this, not the chair, because the chair, it will be unfair to put the blame on him, because it was by the former chair. But we're still engaged, she's still around, she's the chair of Source Board now. So she will still come here and pass the same message to her to say, you don't do that. To the committee. That's not how we work. Welcome to the meeting. Chairperson, make your remarks and hand over if there's somebody identified, CEO or whatever, to take us through your fourth quarter performance report.
Thank you, Chair. The comments are noted, and once more, sincere apologies from Sandy. We'll be taking you through the third quarter and fourth quarter reports simultaneously. So I'd like to invite my colleague, the CEO, to take us through the presentation. We also have senior management for Sandy, Carmen, as well as the CFO, Lerato Setolo, who will do some of the presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe if you can just concentrate on the fourth quarter report, like we're doing with the other entities. Just take us through the fourth quarter report. I see the report was drafted by Ms. Kamel Mbizu.
It's a summary report. She was supposed to be here last time. She is here today.
Oh.
Yeah. Kamel is behind me.
Oh, she was acting. Yeah,
we split. Even today, Chair, we split. There's a visit to SAG by my colleagues from the board and management. But to your point, we thought we should be here. So some members are here today. And the rest of the board and the management is at SAG today.
No, we just need to know because you know things change. The round is in 18, so. But I see the CEO is here.
Nobody's acting today. The CEO is here today. Oh. The CFO is here. I'm here today.
Okay. But when the substantial CEO is around, the report must be by her. She cannot delegate anybody to come to that. Yeah, but it's fine, it's not an issue. So let's get the CEO to present. Yeah.
Good morning, Chairperson, and honorable members and colleagues. Chair,
the delegation that is indicated on the presentation, what is their plan to present to the committee on the 23rd of May? Chairperson, we have prepared the report for today focusing on quarter four. And starting with the presentation outline, we have provided the background and the policy framework, the legal framework for the institute. We have outlined what is our mandate in terms of the legal matters, the policy, and how we report. We've indicated the contribution of spending to national priorities. This is covered by slide 7 to 8. Then, Chair, if I could invite the members to focus on slide number 9, which outlines the programs of the South African Biodiversity, National Biodiversity Institute. The first program, Chair, is to render effective and efficient corporate services. The second one, to manage and unlock benefits of the network of national botanical gardens as windows into South Africa's biodiversity. The third, builds foundational biodiversity science. The fourth, assess, monitor, and report on the state of biodiversity and increase knowledge for decision making, including adaptation to climate change. The fifth program is to provide biodiversity policy advice and access to biodiversity information and support for climate change adaptation. The last one, Chairperson and honorable members, is to provide human capital development, education, and awareness in response to Sandy's mandate. Chair, as I present this report, I wish to highlight that for the reporting period, we are expected to report on the 39 targets that were part of the annual performance plan. And overall, we wish to highlight that there were no adverse incidents for the reporting period, and we would rate the productivity for the institute as quite high. The members are invited to take note that out of the 39 targets, we were able to fully achieve 36 of those targets. Chair, with your permission, I would highlight those targets where we were not able to fully achieve them. So I would wait for you, Chair, to indicate if I might proceed as requested.
Okay. What are your questions?
Chair, I indicated that the annual performance plan, and for quarter four, we had 39 targets. Out of the 39, the 36 were fully achieved, and 3 of the targets were partially achieved. Chair, with your permission, I could go through all the 39 targets, or I could focus on the 3 that were partially achieved. That is
no,
the
for time. For time, yeah. You can just go through it.
Thank you very much, Chair. Having highlighted the 6 programs of SENDI, I will now start with program 1. Once more, to highlight what was planned and what has been achieved. Program 1 is to render effective and efficient corporate services. For the performance indicators on slide 10, we have 2 performance indicators there. The first one is related to the percentage of payroll allocated and spent on staff development. In terms of the plan, in the past we had a baseline of 2%, but due to financial constraints, we had to revise the target down and only spend 1% of the payroll allocated on staff development. I wish to report to the committee that for quarter four, this was fully achieved. There were no challenges in this regard. The second performance indicator for Program 1 is related to a transformed institute that reflects the demography of the South African population. Chairperson and honorable members, for this particular target, our target was supposed to be 44% of the female staff should be on permanent contract employment.
Unfortunately, we were not able to achieve this target fully. We are behind by 0.25%. And the challenge, Chairperson, as highlighted in previous meetings, that we remain with a very high number of male staff members on permanent and contract employment. And as a corrective measure, we undertake to ensure that in future when we do recruitment and selection, we will selectively target female employees. In the same performance indicator related to the demography of the South African population, we have an annual target to make sure that 49% of the female of the staff are female in top senior management. This target was fully achieved. Then the last part of the transformation is related to the overall employment figures. We have a target annually to make sure that 86% of the staff of the institute are black, and this has been fully achieved for the reporting period. The last indication is about disability, people with disability on permanent contract. This was also fully achieved. Carrying on with program one, we do have other performance indicators that are related to supply chain and financial management systems. These are appearing on slide 12. The first performance indicator is related to the Public Finance Management Act and the compliance when it comes to the preparation of our annual financial statement. Here, Chairperson, we will say that provisionally everything was 100% achieved, but as we present this as unqualified, it is still subject to audit processes, but on our part, the target was fully achieved. We have we had an intention to improve the financial sustainability of the institute, and we undertook to realize a 2% increase in own income. The own income would be coming from plant sales, from rentals, from admissions, and other income. For the reporting period, the planned target was fully achieved, and we were able to increase our own income in this regard by a margin of 0.5%. Members of the committee, slide number 13 is a continuation of the corporate services, how the institute is supported to perform. And the first performance indicator on slide 13 is the percentage availability of the SENDI ICT network and business services. We aim to have functionality at a level of above 90%, and this was fully achieved. The second part of corporate services is related to how we manage all identified risks, including how they are assessed and how they are managed in accordance with the risk management framework and policy. And we were able to meet this target and mitigation, any mitigation plans that are required are not necessary in this regard because the system is fully functional. We are able to measure and identify risk and respond in time. Continuing with the corporate services under program one, there is a performance indicator on slide number 14 which has to do with the compliance with all relevant acts and via protocol through the implementation of the compliance framework. For all the four quarters of the year, we were able to meet the requirements in terms of compliance and ensure that all due reports are submitted to the Department of Environmental Affairs in time. On the next slide, still on program one, which has to do with how we market the institute, slide number 15 is the performance indicator related to marketing communication initiatives. We are pleased to report that we met the target. We were able to hold the necessary exhibitions, concerts, campaigns, advertisements, and other means of communication to the staff internally to keep the brand of Fendi. Then on slide 16, this is a presentation of program two. Program two is covered by the next three slides. Starting with slide number 16, we have set a target to ensure that we increase the representation on the display of indigenous plants in the living collection of the Fendi's National Botanical Gardens or the Millennium Seed Bank Partnership. In this case, our target for the year was 20, and accordingly for the reporting quarter, we were able to meet this target and there are no corrective measures necessary. On the next slide, the next two slides are referring to the broader expansion strategy when it comes to the establishment of new national botanical gardens. The slide that refers to the Toyando Botanical Garden, my apology, the first slide is about Kweleka, which is a botanical garden in the Eastern Cape. We have made an undertaking for the reporting period that there will be an implementation plan developed for the upgrade and the improvement of existing buildings in the garden, as well as addressing the landscape design. And this was fully achieved. Similarly, we had made an undertaking to address requirements for improvement in the garden in Limpopo, and this was as well achieved. So in terms of the master plan to increase the national footprint of National Botanical Gardens, we can report that we made good progress in Limpopo and the Eastern Cape. I am now on slide number 19, honorable members. This is related to, again, still on the gardens. This is related to the number of maintenance, development, and capital infrastructure projects that are due to be completed within the network. We are implementing this project with the full support of the Department of Environmental Affairs, and it affects all our gardens. For the reporting period, we were expected to address 45 maintenance and development projects, and they were completed as expected. The next slide, slide number 20, is an area where we were not able to fully meet the target. The performance indicator here was to increase the number of visitors to the National Botanical Gardens. At the start of the financial year for the annual performance plan, we had set a target of a 3% annual increase, but on the intervention of the Department of Environmental Affairs mid-year, we raised the target to 5%. Unfortunately, we were not able to meet the full 5%, but we were slightly above the initially planned for 3%. The challenges that we have, some of them emanate from the situation in the Western Cape. For example, the Kirstenbosch National Botanical Garden received a 1% drop in its visitor numbers for the reporting period. And it's not only for Kirstenbosch, but it has to do with tourism in general for Cape Town as a city. As a corrective measure, Chairperson, we are committing to making sure that in this financial year, 2018-2019, we will still try by all means through marketing and other initiatives to address the 5% set target. Then going on to program number three, which has to do with building the foundational biodiversity science on slide number 21. The commitment here or the performance indicator was to make sure that the number of plant and animal species that are described and classified are compiled accordingly. We had set a target, annually the target was for 4,200 for the quarter. As reported there, we were able to meet the quarterly target. The quarterly target was for 409 animal species pages, and this were compiled, including 4,422 plant species pages compiled accordingly. Still on program 3, building foundational biodiversity, slide number 23, we were expected, or we had set a performance indicator to ensure that the number of quality controlled records for plant specimens in sandy herbaria and for animal specimens in museums, all based on observations, are added to the databases. The target that was set for the quarter was achieved. The target that was set for the year 2017-2018, the 21,000 plus the 35,000 records, were fully achieved. Looking at program number 4, which has to do with assessing, monitoring, and reporting on the state of biodiversity and increasing knowledge for decision making, including adaptation to climate change, we made the commitment that for the reporting period, there would be publications in the form of research papers that are done in accredited journals, and here we can report that the target was fully met. As reflected there, the target for quarter 4 was 20, and this was met. On the next slide, still on the same program 4, we have a performance indicator which has to do with the number of national scientific synthesis and assessment reports produced. We met the target. We were able to produce the report as required. And for this reporting period, it is quite a special period for us because we are in the process of dealing with the National Biodiversity Assessment 2018, which will be published in the new year. But all in all, there is progressive work that has to be done to ensure that the National Biodiversity Assessment is completed accordingly. So the performance indicator that was set there was fully achieved. In addition, the members can take note that we were able to do the assessments that are necessary to maintain the database for the red listing. Similarly, we were able to complete the national status report on biological invasions, and this report was submitted duly to the Minister for Environmental Affairs. Additional work done under Program 4 has to do with the number of national scientific synthesis and assessment reports. This is just continuing on slide number 26. For this work, we were expected to do a scoping report, a draft monitoring framework, and this was done. There was an expectation that we would do testing related to genetically modified organisms. This was fully achieved. Slide number 27, the performance indicators here, just to complete program number 4, are on the number of annual updates on non-detrimental findings that are expected from the scientific authority in support of NIMBA, the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act regulations, and secondly, the number of large cooperative research assessment programs that have delivered knowledge and data. The report that we can give is that when it comes to non-detrimental findings, the response from SENDI is determined by the request. And for the reporting period, we were able to address all the requests that were made to the Institute. And for large programs, as indicated there, we were able to submit a progress report on the BioGAP funding proposal. So the target was met. Program 5, honorable members and chairperson, Program 5 is to provide biodiversity policy advice and access to biodiversity information and support for climate change adaptation. We set a performance indicator that there will be a number of tools and knowledge resources developed to support mainstreaming of biodiversity assets and ecological infrastructure in production sectors and natural resources management. For quarter four, there was an expectation that there will be one tool finalized on ecosystem restoration. There was an expectation that there will be a one knowledge resource developed and dissemination of three that were previously developed, and all these targets were fully met. The second area that we worked on was to deal with the sharing on learning, and this we do with the provinces, with municipalities and other relevant decision makers. As reported on slide number 29, for the reporting period there was no target set, so we don't have a report to table. Then on the number of coordination, again, number of coordination of learning mechanisms to share lessons, if you look at slide number 30, we were expected to have one training session for quarter four of the year, and the training session was indeed held. I'm now moving on to slide number 31. This has to do with the number of biodiversity records that are published. The target that was set for quarter four was 15,000 records published, and as reported there, the 15,000 records were published, and this was in collaboration with an institute of the University of Cape Town. Then on slide number 32 addresses scientific advice that is given to support national and international policy processes. The performance indicator set on slide number 32 was on a percentage of policy requests from DIA, from provinces, from municipalities and other organs of state, and the expectation is that as SENDU we should be able to respond timeously, providing adequate advice. We can report to the committee that for quarter four, we were able to fully address all requests that were addressed to us. And one particular dealt with the establishment of a catchment management agency. We were also able to draft regulations on alien and invasive species and propose amendments to the alien and invasive species list. Then on slide number 33, still on program number 5, providing policy advice, we had a performance indicator to ensure that there is an effective national implementing entity to the Global Adaptation Fund. For the reporting period, we were expected to share lessons and experiences at one forum, and this was done accordingly. The last performance indicator for program 5 has to do with the number of biodiversity sector tools that are ready to address climate change adaptation and mainstreaming thereof. For the reporting period, there was no target set, so the slide number 34 will indicate that we do not have a report to table. The last program for the South African Biodiversity Institute has to do with human capital development, and we have a number of performance indicators. The first one on slide number 35 is the number of Black biodiversity professionals developed through this human capital development initiative, and this we do through structured internships, fellowships, and other programs related to the workplace. For the reporting period, we had a target to ensure that 100 professionals are developed, and this was fully achieved, and we just wish to draw the committee's attention that in the past, the minister has indicated that we should rather adjust the figure down to a target of about 73. The other performance indicator related to human capital development is on slide number 36. It has to do with the beneficiaries that participate in Biodiversity Careers Program. We make an effort to attract young people into the biodiversity sector. For the fourth quarter, we have set a target of 150, and this target was fully achieved and exceeded. As we report there, we were able to reach 291 beneficiaries. The next slide addresses the responsibility to ensure that we do have beneficiaries in the form of users that visit our botanical gardens to attend our school-based programs. These are designed to raise the level of education awareness. They provide training and as well as the recreation. For the reporting period, we had set a target of 12,800 learners. Unfortunately, we were not able to achieve this target fully. The challenges that we have are highlighted on that slide, number 37. They have to do with the internal capacity to accommodate all learners that might wish to visit the gardens. And we have undertaken that going forward, there will be corrective measures to address this shortfall. However, overall, honorable members are invited to take note that for the full year, for the 2017-2018 financial year, we were able to fully achieve the set target for the year. It is just that for this particular quarter, our achievement was slightly below, but overall for the financial year, we were able to meet the target, if not overachieve a little bit. Then on slide number 38, still on human capital development, more about how we work with civil society or citizens' involvement in biodiversity. We had a performance indicator to make sure that civil society is engaged, and they do this through a number of platforms that are facilitated internally, working with them. And for the reporting period, we were expected to submit the annual report for the ICEFORT and the CREW. The CREW stands for the Custodians of Rare and Endangered Wildflowers report, and this was fully achieved. Now, going to slide number 39, Chairperson, we're just presenting a full summary for the financial year, starting with quarter one, quarter two, three, and four. Out of the 39 targets that were planned for the financial year, the achievement rate is indicated there, and for quarter four, out of the 39, we fully achieved 34, two were ahead of schedule, and three were partially achieved. Honorable members are furthermore invited to take note of slide number 40.
With your permission, maybe we can take comments on the overall performance assessment before we go into the financial.
Not sure we take both reports and then we get to the comments. The members will then ask questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members are invited to take note of slides number 40, 41, and 42. The three slides are giving the figures related to the demographics. The members can focus on slide 41, which gives an indication of the total number of employees of the institute. We employ 722 individuals, and we're giving a breakdown in terms of their salary level. We appoint from salary level number 2 up to 16, and across the slide, we have given an indication of the numbers in terms of the African males, African females, colored males, colored females, Indian males and Indian females, and white males and white females. So overall, we seem to be doing well when it comes to the appointment of what is defined as black individuals at a level of about 85%. Chairperson, this is the conclusion of the presentation on my part. I will hand over to the CFO to continue with the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning to portfolio committee members and chairperson. I will start with the financial performance on slide 44. For the financial year, we have fully received the government grant that was budgeted for the year at 368 million. Moving on to projects and donations, we have received an amount of 75.6 million versus a budget of 93.6 million. That gives us a variance of 18 million that was not received during the financial year. It should be noted that most of the projects are on average over a 3-year period. So the 18 million would still be received during the course of the various projects that they are undertaking. Revenue from our own operations, we have generated 130 million versus a budget of 112, giving us a positive variance of 2%. 1.8 million. In total, we were able to raise revenue of 567 million against a budget of 574, giving us a variance of 16 million, which mainly relates to the underperformance on projects and donations. On spending, personnel costs, we have spent 279 million against a budget of 296, giving us a positive variance of 6%, 17 million. Operating expenses, we have spent 215 million against a budget of 202, implying that we have overspent with 12.3 million, which is 6%, and it was compensated for through the savings on personnel. Capital expenditure, we have spent 41 million against a budget of 75 million with a balance of 33 million, which is fully committed by the 31st of March. In total, we have spent 535 million against a budget of 574, giving us a positive variance of 38 million. And in total, when you take the revenue against the expenses, we have a surplus of 22.2 million, which is mainly as a result of the capital expenditure that has been committed. I'll move on to slide 46, which deals with the financial condition. As at the end of March, we were still solvent with the total assets exceeding total liabilities. Total assets are at 684 million against liabilities of 306 million. Looking at the assets, our non-current assets have grown from 279 million to 305. This is mainly the property, plant and equipment. And current assets have also grown from 331 to 378, giving us a total of 684.
surplus has grown from 344 to 367. Non-current liabilities has remained the same. This relates mainly to post-retirement obligations, which were still going to be evaluated on by the actuarial professional. Current liabilities have grown from 221 to 272, and this is mainly the creditors and accruals for the year. When looking at current assets of 378 versus current liabilities of 272, there is a margin of 106 million, making the organization still liquid and able to cover all debt. I will move on to slide 48, which deals with the financial indicators. The first one is the creditor payment period. We have improved from the previous financial year from
And now you're about to jump financial position.
Yes, they have been dealt with as I go through the previous slide.
No, go through them.
I will go back to slide 45. On slide 45, which deals with the variances on the financial performance, projects and donations income is below budget due to the timing. And if you look at the overall revenue generated from operating activities, it has exceeded budget. However, rental income was lower than it was budgeted for by 1.8 million. It's mainly as a result of the Karoo and the KZN restaurants, which were unoccupied. Then we had investment income, which was higher than budgeted for, as a result of higher bank account balances. Other income, which is funded income from plant sales and identified income, was higher than budget by 800,000, and the other two I had dealt with. Then moving on to slide 47, the cash reserves as indicated are adequate to meet all the short-term obligations and project funds commitments. And current assets has also been addressed with the increase in current assets by 57.5 million and current liabilities also that has increased by 51.1 million. Now on slide 48, the financial indicators. Creditor payment period has improved from the previous financial year from 54.8 days to 33.5 days. Total spending as a percentage of total budget also it has improved from 86% to 90% with the balance being committed. Revenue management, it has worsened from 52 days to 111 days. This is when we are taking into account the venue hire. What actually happens is as the public makes bookings to use our venues, we raise letters against them, and in some cases they would book way in advance, sometimes even a year in advance, and it would then reflect as outstanding up until the date of the event. When we remove the venue hire debtors, we have moved from 31 days to 59 days. Looking at the agreement with the tenants, they have up to 75 days to pay us, so the 59 days is well within the 75 days.
On asset and liability management, there was no deficit in the financial year. A net current liability position was not realized, meaning that our total current assets exceeded current liabilities. And total assets also exceeded total liabilities. And if you take your liquid assets as a percentage of total current liabilities, we are still positive. Current cash management, there was no overdraft, and net cash flows for the year from operating activities were positive. Creditors as a percentage of cash and cash equivalents is still positive at 7%. The net cash flows for the year from operating activities were also not negative, they were positive. Oh, this is a repetition. And the creditors as a percentage of cash and cash equivalent at 7%. On the next slide, page 49, dealing with internal control. The first category is the leadership. From the previous assessment, we have maintained the report as it was. So all areas were within compliance, they were well functioning, they were all green. On the next slide, the next category deals with financial and performance management. There are areas that are concerning in yellow. However, we have maintained and not regret in the quarter. Then on slide 51, the last category deals with governance, and all the areas were found to be in order. They were all green.
Yes, we can take questions.
Okay. I hope members have got questions. I just have a few. On the financial report. Now, this is the variance of the on the income that was expected from projects and donations. Can you just get a sense of what income is this? What projects and donations are this supposed to be? And then there is a 45% from 75 million. 75 million that was spent, that was budgeted for on the capital projects, and only 41.2 million was spent, which is a variance of is it 45 or 23? Or 45%. Now, what type of project are this? Why was there such a delay in implementation? It's almost like 50% of the capital project that was budgeted for were not spent. Against the background of the new botanical garden that you have planned for, which the information is that not everything. nothing else has been achieved in that regard. So can you just get an explanation regarding that one? Okay, the revenue management I think is explained. That is fine. It's a venue highest one. Now, can you explain to us what happens here? When somebody book a venue, immediately you issue an invoice. Or do you issue an invoice after the people have utilized the venue? And the issue with the tenants, why do you allow tenants 25 days to pay instead of the normal monthly? Maybe there's something that I don't understand. If you can explain it to us. Now, on the internal controls, how severe is this movement, especially around record keeping? 2.8. And then also the daily and monthly processing and reconciling of transactions. There is a negative movement on the financial. And the preparation of regular financial reports. Can you please elaborate on this? So those are my few questions. Hello, Hadel. Hello, Hadel. Hello, Jandir. Welcome, Honorable Khadir. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair President. And thanks for the presentation. Chair, the overall impression that I get from the conversation that was given to us is that the agency is welcome. But I would like to mention a few things that I found to be worrisome for me. Sort of giving me no joy. First, when it comes to financial performance, at least if we were given notes on the financial performance, that would have given us explanation to the question that we would like. Actually, the question that Chair has raised, if the notes or the good notes were given, then we would clarify all the issues like the projects, the donation, everything would have been on the notes. That would have taken out a number of questions that we've got in the particular committee. And the other main issue that I've got, Chair, I don't know, because we know SAMPI is accredited to disperse the CCFR. There is no performance indicator where they report on the project that they dish out of it, that they are approved. There is no mechanism to see where they are within the disbursement of this GCF funding. I'm completely aware that they do a very crucial job when it comes to project funds, where they give advice or projects when it relates to issues of climate change. But if there is disbursement of the funds, I haven't seen that on this financial performance as well as the overall reporting from the entity on the last question. That would be my move, but otherwise everything seems to be well taken care of. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to echo that. It's very well presented and looks like in a very healthy position. I'd just like to congratulate Sandy on winning another gold medal at the Chelsea Committee flourish, and I would have thought that they would have bragged about that to us, but we didn't hear anything about that.
What?
A gold medal in the Chelsea Flower Show, Chelsea in England. It's the 35th gold medal in 42 years. I think that's a tremendous achievement. I'm not sure how that is funded. Maybe someone can tell us it's donated. So maybe someone can just tell us briefly how that is funded, because that can't be a cheap exercise, exhibiting in England. So anyway, well done to whoever was involved with that. The questions I have, if someone could just explain the crew again. I didn't catch the crew for the birds, or whatever crew, I didn't catch the crew, that's an easy one. On the finances, I think that the 33.5, the credit payment period is commendable, that's very good. I also had a big question mark to your 75 days, which you raised, Chair. I think I've never heard of such a long time. Surely we need a legal opinion on this, because that doesn't sound right to me. And then the last question I have is with the new addition, or the recent addition of the National Zoological Gardens in Pretoria, what impact has that had on these financials? Thanks.
Okay.
Going at to the financials. I think the chairperson has expressed our views because we share a similar view on a little bit of the lack of detail, even in terms of operations. If there is a breakdown, it makes it clear for you to be able to say this is where they are. You know, you can detect where there is overspending because we want to see whether there is no waste for and fruitless expenditure. But you can't detect when it's just a big web operation. You don't know what has been done in that part. Lastly, Chair, there is where they are saying that there are restaurants that are unoccupied in Kabul and Kizabe. Just for interest, they can see that in which one are those. Thank you.
Okay. Let's give you 3 minutes to sort yourself out who's going to answer which question. So we're going to break for about 3 minutes and come back at say 10 past 12. So you'll sort yourself out who's going to answer which question when we come.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Khademe, good to see you. I can't complain himself.
Good, 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 good.
Fantastic. The requisite amendments have been made to
okay.
to the website. You can just let me know if there any further.
Can I, if I go on? On the website, can I see?
Oh, yes, there.
Yes, it's
there.
Nice. You gotta see. No, I'll have a look.
But, you know, I arrived back at the office last week, so they changed it immediately.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Is there any further rectifications?
No, I think that's enough.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
But I will probably see you next week again. If you will be.
No, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Okay. Just left yesterday on Monday when I was driving to the airport.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like around 3 o'clock because I was on the 6 o'clock flight. So I had to wait for the guys to come and to me find a close place to keep the cars.
Yes.
Then over yesterday, we towed all the way to where I stay in Newcastle. And then after
that, organize
another transport to the airport.
That must have been so tiring.
Hey, I'm chilling, yeah.
You must be so tired. I don't know what that is. But I'm glad you managed.
Yeah.
No, that area, I hope it was a safe area.
Yeah, luckily,
that's how
I was in the
city.
I was thinking if I was in the medium zone, if you are like standing, they stop and mark
you. Exactly.
They know that you won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And they are no police station, they can't touch you and then.
And how will the constituency work?
No, you see now, I was planning over the weekend too.
Yes.
But I will keep it on hold until I come because I was thinking that now. Since I'm going on the process,
okay.
I'll start now and do some work. But during the week, that's where I will do more door-to-door public meetings.
Okay.
Then I want to go to Devon's house as well. I was speaking. working to councillor Malini, she is a councillor, she deals with the issue that we are so I wanted to organize the community. There is an area around Davao, David South, where they are affected by air pollution, like this chemical industry, and plantation as well. Not only plantation, in Davao, what you call this, where they produce produce plants.
Okay.
Like your mint. Yeah. So there is a concept of air pollution in this area, so dust and everything, and petrochemical industry. So they were bitterly complaining from that area. They also help the landfill sites as well. So it's like a very huge issue. I know that the chief department and the portfolio, we wanted to go there twice, but we didn't.
Okay.
So now I'm taking the initiative to go there and I can see what we as well. Speak to the NGOs, they've given me the information, also the particular of the air monitoring station.
Yes.
It's watching.
Wow.
For quite a long time. So it's really interesting to watch.
Luck with that. I'm thinking a lot about our discussion, and since I'm actually doing my master's at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I will probably be doing my PhD in public policy.
Oh, that's okay.
And what that's interesting actually is, I think it addresses exactly what you spoke about, you know, in terms of how does the government in South Africa, you know, actually facilitate deeper public participation, you know, and you mentioned questions like language, contextual.
Exactly, so the professor is able to express himself properly.
Absolutely,
and
how can you? That's really got me thinking. It's really got me thinking about what's possible, you know, especially when we try to address the context. But I must say, it's very helpful.
You see, sometimes you see with the issue of public consultation, it doesn't go to the people that are being affected.
Yeah.
Call the public meeting, call the meeting in charge.
Yeah.
Whereas the people that are affected, like on a daily basis, and then when you call it in town, and people, even the kind of consultation, public consultation, they don't get that information to them. So that they can come and assess the time.
Yes.
What are they facing the day in, day out?
Yes.
When it comes to the just everything you need to have then you take the
yes.
No tax, proper policy. Where you get the issues from the community.
Then you might just ask someone to give effect to the constitutional obligation in that regard. But meaningful. You know, how can people then have a voice?
You see, for instance, now, the councillor called me.
Yeah.
I realized that it was major, so I had to speak out. I said, no, look, the national public, the national climate change bill was advertised on the 10th.
Yeah.
Now we are calling for public consultation on the 15th.
Yeah.
Within a short space of time. And you know that if you call it in the first space of time, like on the 15th, when is the 15th? Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday or Friday?
It's on Friday.
Exactly.
You can't call that in the morning, so you call it on Friday.
Yeah.
And you have to speak when are the people going to be there? We have those NGOs, they speak of enough, but we don't hear from them.
And did they have like a prior opportunity to actually look at what's going on?
It was advertised on the 10th,
yeah.
Now they call. Just send me an email. How about the Sheriff Department? According to them, they've got no questions going to the council's party. People are not aware, that's where it comes. They are the ones who need to give the info.
Wow.
That's why you make it meaningful and proper consultation where you hear the voice, not the voice of happy. Because sometimes I'll speak my voice, not the voice of the
voice. That's very helpful and very fascinating. And good luck.
And then I'll say goodbye.
We'll speak that again, but thanks for everything.
Okay, if you need anything,
keep it up. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
But I'll give it to you now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll come. I can come if you want. No worries. I'll follow you soon. Okay.
Reference to program one of Stanley. We take their advice
we will improve the program design such that it's fully reflective of what is undertaken through corporate administration and other related functions such as monitoring, planning, and reporting. The second issue she raised was around our adherence to the 3% on disability. We welcome that. Then she had questions around marketing, that we had set targets, but we seem to have done more activities than we had originally planned, and the direct question was whether this had an impact on the budget of Sandy. Our answer is no, it does not, even though we raised the various modalities of marketing. Some of them are done in partnership with the other interested parties, so they have not necessarily had an impact. And overall, we welcome any initiatives that create partnerships because they allow us to raise our income level and increase the footprint into our gardens. She also raised a matter about the unoccupied restaurants in our gardens. In our report, we reflect that the restaurants sometimes are without tenants. And for this reporting period, we reflected on Karoo and the one in KwaZulu-Natal. She wanted to know which one. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have two facilities. We have a herbarium in the city of Durban, but the restaurant is in Pietermaritzburg, where we have the National Botanical Garden. Then she raised issues around more details.
Restaurants are not occupied.
They were not occupied for the reporting period, and we are currently looking for tenants. So we do advertise, and it's on the basis of responses that we are able to structure and contract with the service provider. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'll hand over to the CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. I will start with the first question on the balance with the projects and donation income, where we are reporting a balance of 18 million. And the question was, which project this relates to, and the main project which is behind on revenue is actually the national implementing entity on the adaptation fund. It should be noted that this is a 5-year project and it's currently in its 3rd year, so there's still 2 more years within the project. And we are anticipating that the funds will still be received within the next 2 years.
Which one is that?
The National Implementing Entity on Adaptation Fund.
So where do we get the money?
Where do we get the money?
Where are you? Where do you receive the money from?
The Climate Change Fund.
Where?
The Global Adaptation Fund.
The Global Adaptation Fund,
yeah.
So that's where the money comes from.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what the honourable member asked about. What are the projects that are done?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I also take note of the comments on the notes. Put notes to be included for the financials, and we'll do so in future. The next question on financial performance was on capital expenditure, where there is under expenditure of 33.7 million. It should be noted that the capital project is a 3-year program and it's in its 2nd year, so there's still another year to go in the project. However, the full 33 million is fully committed at the end of March, meaning that there was progress in implementing infrastructure projects, but the project had not reached a stage where payment was due and payable. So there is no delay in implementation. The next question.
Maybe what for the next question? Do we have a list of projects which are supposed to be funded? Because you have budgeted 75 million for 2017-2018. Only 41 was spent, so it means the 33 million that was not spent is going to have to be moved to the next budget. So when you do project planning, you do it over a term, say 3 years, and each year you get allocated, or you allocate for the project funding. So if something does not happen, it means that it's either a function of poor planning or poor execution of the project. Poor planning in the sense that you know that if you want to build a road, first you must do the design and you make allocation for the design of the road in this financial year. You go out on tender next financial year, you start with implementation. So that is the project planning. So it means something went wrong. So can we get a list of all these projects, the ones which are not performing well? And probably the reasons why there is such poor performance. If you've got a list, then you can give it to us now. But if you don't have, then you have to get that kind of information.
What's up with the list, Chair?
Not now.
You don't have it now?
No.
Okay. All right, so you give us the list of the project plan.
Do I get a question that would also have a view we structure this commercial arrangement or...
No, I wanted to get a sense of what is the extent of the tenant who have those which leases are due to expire when, so that you can analyze the situation. Because you see, you'll forever be in the right space as long as you don't address this. It's the issue of receiving money on time. But we can deal with that when we come back again.
Yeah, thank you.
The other question on the same slide was the process with booking venues. Essentially what happens is when a client books a venue, we issue an invoice for the full amount, but they pay a deposit. The balance would then be due before the event takes place. So this can be any, it depends how early the client comes through to somebody to make a booking. So it can vary from 30 days to up to a year. Then on page 50, there was a question on the severity of the internal control deficiencies on financial and performance management, and particularly on 2A, B, and C. And the impression is that there is improvement as at year end on these elements, but we will only be able to see it when we see the final report from the AG. Thank you.
Have we done dealt with all the questions? I think what we will request from you...
No, there's one more. There's one more.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Just two last questions. I won't be long. But the one question was around the Green Climate Fund and the mechanism for tracking the disbursement of those project funds. We haven't yet started disbursing funding for the project. We at the point of designing, getting designs on those projects, but we take note of that request and we ensure that we provide information once we start disbursing those funds. The other last question was around what is CRU? CRU is a very exciting citizen science project. As you know, Sandy's mandate is to monitor and report on the status of our biodiversity. And through involving normal citizens in identifying plants, we're able to actually make a big saving. So we have volunteers who give up their time and go out on field trips and help with the identification of plants. Where are they? What are they? So it's a very exciting citizen science project, and we have more information on that on our SANPI website. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think first of all that there is no performance in that Green Climate Fund. So SANPI has been identified as an implementing agent, but it's no indicator. So the request is that let that be an indicator so that we're able to report on the performance of that.
Okay.
And then the other issue, we're just asking for details on financial reporting. We did the same with other entities. Then perhaps we also asked them to give us a bit more detail.
on a, for instance, when you speak about projects and donation, we need you to elaborate on those, especially given the fact that the performance has not been good. So we should not assume that we know what are the projects and donations. When you talk about operations, what we require is that get a bit more elaborative. You don't have to put in everything else, but some of the big items there under operations, so that you can indicate this is where the money is going. So that's what we were asking for, about more information on the finances. Okay. Thank you very much. I guess you have noted that. So they only come back to report. Would expect that you reflect on those. So thank you very much for coming. I don't know whether Chair you want to have a closing remarks.
No, thank you, Chair and honourable members. It's good feedback. I think it's fair comments in terms of the details that we need to give on the work that we're doing, and we sometimes assume a lot because we deal with these issues on a daily basis. We are going to be hosting you fairly soon at the Mangali, so at the Climate Change Adaptation Fund project. Is it concept? It's a pity because we have a nice opportunity for us to share with you some of the details that you asked for. But we'll come back with the details.
Yeah, on the National Zoological Garden, we had planned to go and visit, and we thought that during our visit, we will have an opportunity to get information, to get presentations on the challenges and get to have a sense of the issues there. So our trip was cancelled by the person who's supposed to approve. The same person who did not approve our other trip. And members are angry with me now because I've given them feedback. So the committee is about to resolve that we must summon the person who does the approval as a committee of parliament. Because we can summon anybody to come and explain. So you can come and sit here and explain to us why is he exercising the powers in the manner that he's exercising that and making the committee to fail in the execution of his program. So we couldn't come. We're looking at some other dates in the future to fly to Pretoria for a site visit there, but also to engage on the issues around the transition and the handing over of the garden. Is the garden or the park? Of the park.
It's the garden. It's the garden. It's not a park.
Okay. So we'll go and have a visit and then have an opportunity then to engage on these issues. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of our meeting. We'd like to thank you very much. I see the two ladies at the back. They don't look relaxed. They look like they've come to a terrible place here.
No, they are fine.
Yeah, you must relax on that. Yeah. All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you, members. We will do a roundup of all the members and confirm if everybody else has confirmed attendance, then we can confirm Tuesday. But for now, we've got Tuesday test.